I am so pleased that representatives from the Public Affairs Department of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would join us today. The Managing Director of the Public Affairs Office, Michael Anderson, is here with us. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here at KSL Studio.
Happy to be here.
And then Bill Evans also joins us from the Public Affairs Department. Bill, thank you for joining us as well.
Our pleasure.
Boy, that was significant last night. I was mentioning to both of you off the air that I was given a little heads up that your statement would be made. I was not privy to what it would say, and I tuned in to KSL at 7 o'clock, realizing that we would cover it. And it was a very, very happy day for me. Michael, what transpired last night? Maybe you could even walk us through what led up to your statement last night at the city council meeting.
Well, I think the opening comment that you made, you selected that one sentence, really says it all. The Salt Lake City really did a very good job with this. The church was able to support this these ordinances because they did a couple of things. The first thing is they did what was right. They provided for common sense rights for everyone in this community. And providing the right to work and the right to for people to work and the right for people to have a roof over their heads without being discriminated against would seem on its face to be a common sense kind of thing. And so they did the right thing. And the second thing they did is that the city very carefully preserved the right of religious freedom and avoided impacting the family. And that has always been the issue with the church. In fact, going back, 18 months ago, during the Proposition 8 campaign, the church issued a statement called the Divine Institution of Marriage. You can still read that on our website. And in that statement, this is what the church said. Let me just quote. The church does not object to fair housing and employment rights so long as these do not infringe on the integrity of the family or the constitutional rights of churches and their adherents to administer and practice their religion free from government interference. That was in August 2008. So the church's position has been very, very consistent. What enabled the breakthrough, I think, last night was the fact that the city had recognized that very bright line that the church had established for our own position in acknowledging common sense rights, but yet not being willing to compromise on those other key principles. That was the thing that made it work.
Bill, you and I have talked about this before, and while we are talking about others' rights and extension of rights and rights of discrimination, rights that have been associated with housing and so on, church institutions, not just the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but others, they also are guaranteed rights under the Constitution. And when melding things like this, like the ordinance last night in Salt Lake City, there are two very important sides to the rights that need to be watched out for.
That's right. And in this whole debate that goes on here and elsewhere, the issue of providing protections to all people in employment, housing, and other areas, as important as they are and as good as they are, also need to be balanced with the rights made possible by the First Amendment to the Constitution of religious free speech and religious establishment for religions to be able to do and preach and practice what is important to them.
This statement was made last night, and I have to tell you, Michael, when I heard this, it almost brought tears to my eyes.
I represent a church that believes in human dignity, in treating others with respect, even when we disagree. In fact, especially when we disagree.
I think that last line just tugged at my heart, and I thought, you know, and we talk about this a lot on this show, at least I hope we do enough, where in our civic dialogue, it needs to be more civil. We need to recognize that we are all human beings. We all have feelings. We all have passions, and we all have rights, and to treat that respectfully. And I love sometimes even especially when we disagree is when perhaps we ought to bend over backwards to be even more civil.
I think we all, this is advanced citizenship, isn't it?
Yes.
It's engaging with each other at a level of civility that's important when we disagree. In fact, you can look back at some of the recent statements of church leaders. President Hinckley was well known for having made this kind of plea many times to civility and dialogue. President Monson has done the same thing. Members of the Council of 12 Apostles have done the same thing as well. It's really been a recurring theme, and probably particularly needed at a time when the way the country has become polarized, the way that people use blogs these days, for example, and the kind of anonymity that blogs provide for people has led to just a terrible deterioration in the way in which people dialogue. So, yeah, that was a very important part of the message.
In this dialogue, and I'll throw this out to both of you, whether it's been at the Salt Lake County level, whether it's been at the Salt Lake City level, and certainly at the legislative level here in the state of Utah, there have been some who have taken some pretty strong stands that this is extending special privilege, creating another layer, creating a different class of individuals. Well, what is your response to that? Because undoubtedly, I would assume today, and then this is another question I'd like to ask, maybe we can piggyback it into it, I'm assuming you're getting some phone calls today on this. And maybe, Bill, I could throw that to you.
Indeed we are. And it's important to remember with this that it's not carving out. In fact, the language of the ordinance or ordinances make it clear that it's not creating, and they're not creating, any special class or classification or privileges that aren't extended to all. And as we have read it and have come to understand it, that is the intent, that no one should be denied the right of employment or housing on issues other than their competence.
Those who are reaching out for perhaps some clarification today, and maybe some are, and I'm not privy as to who some of the phone calls are from today, but for those who have staked out these grounds and have claimed that this is creating other layers, it is creating special classes, Michael, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I think we've got to say we're extremely encouraged by the reaction across the board. There's a very, very positive reaction. But in any democratic society, you're going to have people that will take polar extremes. You know, you'll have some of the very gay activist individuals who nothing will satisfy them. Whatever the church does, nothing will satisfy them. On the other hand, you have people on the other end of the extreme who think that any kind of move or any kind of concession to the gays is a slippery slope. We don't accept that. The church has made its position very clear that this is fair and reasonable. As Bill correctly says, the ordinance is very, very carefully worded. If you can at some point actually read the sections that relate to this, you'll find that it's very persuasive. The language is very persuasive. It simply does not create another class.
When I was talking with Eric Jurgensen, who was on the city council, and we were getting his reaction, you know, being a council member and so on, representing the 3rd District in our city, I brought this up because occasionally, honestly, on this talk show, I'll get it. Well, you know, the LDS Church, what are they even doing involved in some of the legislative issues and some of the ordinance issues? And I've always made the argument that, for heaven's sake, you look at, talk about a shareholder in our community, talk about a stakeholder in our community, talk about something that draws tourism, something that generates the economy, something that supplies jobs, something that owns land and even for-profit enterprises. It amazes me that some people think that the church should not have a voice in these issues. Well, what would your response be to that?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think there's some important perspectives, some context that we can add here. First of all, the church didn't draft these ordinances. This is something which the city drafted and then asked the community for response, and they asked the church for its opinion on this. And so it's not as if we wade into an area where we weren't invited. And that, in fact, is generally the approach that the church takes. We're not out there giving the state legislature free advice. We're not doing the same thing to the city. But if we're asked and there's an important social issue in front of the people, of course, then we'll represent what we think our values dictate we should represent.
Bill, your thoughts on this, too, and without getting specific, I know you and I have had conversations where some things that are a little unique to you that are perceived to be right from the doorstep and are laid at the doorstep of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, often you had nothing to do with.
Correct.
At all.
In our interaction with political leaders, we spend much of the time disabusing, actually, what is claimed to be the Church's position on one issue or another. The Church is really very circumspect in terms of issues it reacts to or takes or acts, offers an opinion on, and those are very discreet and very few compared to the many that are out there.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate both of you gentlemen joining us on the program today. We wanted to get your perspective on what occurred last night. Just perhaps a final thought as you deal with the positive aspects of the aftermath of this and maybe some of the questions. Just a final thought from both of you. Maybe I could go to you first, Michael.
I think the important thing is in these kind of debates that people get the facts in front of them. There is so much demonizing that goes on in our society today. The church's position on these kind of issues has been very, very clear from the beginning. We tend to use our newsroom website to record statements and to make visible the kind of official positions that the church makes. And if you go back, you'll see a very, very consistent pattern on these kind of issues, the same kind of policy statements and the same kind of respect and the same kind of dignity to all of those statements that we hope we'll have in the future as well. And so I think that the one thought in my mind is, and what was encouraging about last night, is that a vast majority of comments were of that nature. This was democracy at its finest, when you get people of very different viewpoints, very different perspectives, coming together and expressing themselves in very respectful ways. I was impressed by that.
Bill, your thoughts?
Salt Lake is a very diverse community, and it is encouraging to us to see individuals of goodwill and wanting to come together and find ways to communicate more effectively. And as people, individuals, and as that happens, I think we'll see that kind of goodwill increase.
I certainly appreciate you both joining us. Thank you so much. Bill Evans with us, and also Michael Otteson, who are from the public relations branch of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I appreciate both of you gentlemen joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.